on September 11th, I was up in Nanuet doing a demolition job. And when the first tower hit, everybody heard over the radio that the towers were hit by a plane, but no one knew the full extent. Second tower was hit, they shut the job down immediately and gave everybody the option of, I was running the job site, so I would give everybody the option of staying there, you know, finding shelter or going home to their loved ones, because no one knew. Mm-hmm. We didn't get any information like we were under attack or anything. With that, I decided to go home. I wasn't going to stay there, which what is usually about an hour and a half drive from Nanuet to Long Island. I got home in about 35 minutes. There was absolutely no cars on the road because nobody can go west towards the city. So going over the Throgs Neck Bridge, I could see the mushroom. And I was like, oh, my God. When I got back to the office, they said, do you want to go down there? It was just me and the owner of the business. Out of about 200 guys and five foremen, me being one of the foremen, I was the only one not married. Plus, with my military training and everything I did, I was there traveling with foremen. I traveled the whole East Coast. I decided to go. So the next day that we went down there, the 12th, from the 12th to the 17th, I supervised the cleanup of Site 7. Then on the 17th of September, roughly about 8,000 pounds of steel crushed my left foot. The guy next to me fainted. I took his belt off. I made a tourniquet because blood was shooting out of my boot about 6 feet in the air in about three different directions. I looked like a human sprinkler. I hobbled over to the curb. I took my boot off, and then all my bones were sticking out of my socks. Tried cutting my sock off with a razor blade knife. The fire department was there within like 3 minutes. God bless them. They put me on a cart, put me in an ambulance. I had a four-car police escort to Bellevue like I was Elvis. They were literally stopping cars at the intersections for me just to get to Bellevue. I spent about 9 or 10 days in Bellevue where I developed gangrene. Little did I know that I was so naive and gullible. I thought gangrene was something from like the 1800s with a gunshot wound to the belly, and the doctor goes, this guy's going to die of gangrene. I became organ septic. When you become septic, you have possible organ shutdown. So I was getting sicker, so I made my mother get me out of that hospital. I went to North Shore University in Plainview, where I spent about 9-10 weeks, you know, first fighting for my life, then fighting for no organ, you know, and then my consolation was losing part of my foot after surgery, after surgery, after surgery. You know, I went from 188 pounds to about 120 pounds. After I got out of the hospital, that first year, I was like every other 9/11 responder, why me? Why am I getting denied? The fact that I had to fight, while everybody else had respiratories and cancers, I was fighting for a physical injury. You know, well, it's hard for them to prove it, even though they shouldn't have to. I had a physical injury documented, but I was in the same boat as them being denied. I eventually won my workman's comp case, which was an insult, though, $52,000. Then I got denied the first time around on Social Security, and then, you know, I appealed, and then Congressman Bishop's office helped me out, and I won. 2002, I started going to support groups, just meeting other 9/11 responders. Then 2003 came, and It was a series of events, a chain of events that really put life in perspective. I was averaging about three or four surgeries on both feet. But in 2003, I coming back from the doctor, I'm on crutches, I'm sitting in McDonald's, and I remember this day, and I'm sitting there eating a number two, and I don't usually eat McDonald's because I'm pretty healthy, but I was really hungry. And this guy came in with his two daughters, and one of the daughters was normal, and the other one was severely handicapped. So they sat right next to me, and the handicapped daughter was probably a year or two older than the younger daughter. And the father never helped the girl once, but for her to eat her Happy Meal, she had a struggle just to get her mouth around the straw. And it took them about 45 minutes to eat a little cheeseburger and a little fries. You know, she was severely handicapped, couldn't speak. Everything out of her mouth was blurred. It's like, And she played with her sister with their toy from the Happy Meal, and I'm sitting there to myself, and how bad do I really have it? This girl was born without a choice. I have a choice. I can feel sorry for myself, or I can help others and fight back. Started going to calling different politicians and media and just trying to advocate for others that were sick and dying. Then I was at home resting, you know, because I still was recovering from one of my surgeries. And my sister called and said my mother was rushed to the hospital. I knew right away there was something wrong. So when I got there, she laying in the hospital bed. My family members are there. And a few hours later, the doctor came back and said she had cancer. My mother died April 2nd of 2000. Mm-hmm. And she raised me as mother, father, best friend. And I didn't need 9/11 to know right from wrong. I needed 9/11 to show everybody what my mother taught me. But, you know, she put up a fight for 3 years and never once complained. complained. And I was like, how bad do I have it? She was given a disease that, you know, she fought for her life. The day my mother was diagnosed with cancer, I'm on crutches now and I'm coming home. I was given a dog when I got out of the hospital. Laying in my house, somebody knocked on the door. I couldn't get to the door fast enough. When I got to the door, I looked around, there was no one there, so I opened the door and I knocked over a basket with a puppy in it. And there's a card in it saying, I hope this cheers you up. I have ideas who did it, but no one ever claimed it. Anyway, it's a Rottweiler, but he has the mindset of a French poodle. You could break into my house and lick you to death. But when I came home from the hospital, my dog was laying in a pool of blood out of his butt. Like, God, why? Why me? Now I'm trying to get him into my expedition. I'm on crutches in a cast, and this is a 130-pound dog. I get him to the vet, and the vets, they do their test, and like, yeah, John, your dog has Lyme disease, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, blah, blah, blah. He got bit by a tick. It's $100 to put him to sleep or $2,700 to keep him alive. And I'm like, what do I do, you know? And then I was like, dog, do you have a payment plan? I wound up paying like $75 a month for like the next however long. For like 8 days between my mother and my dog in the hospital, I'm going back and forth on crutches to see both of them. So with that, I started advocating. And as an individual, I started helping people. I would just shame grocery stores or lumber yards to donate material to 9/11 responders who couldn't afford it. I didn't have a name. I was just doing it. And I refused. I've been diagnosed by four doctors with post-traumatic, and I've yet to take a pill for it. And I refused to take any more medication and put anything else in my body. That was my therapy, helping people. The end of 2004, I co-founded an organization called Unsung Heroes Helping Heroes with a couple other 9/11 responders. Those responders were compensated, though, by the September 11th fund, so they didn't know what it was to suffer financially. They also wanted to pass new laws and new bills, and I was a strong believer the laws and bills that we have now would be effective if elected officials would just do what is morally right. You know, that's wishing. You know, I resigned. I resigned because I wanted to help 9/11 responders on an everyday basis because they needed help every day. So I started the Feel Good Foundation, and you know, my first fundraiser, I did a golf outing, and three 9/11 responders went home with $1,300 each, you know, and I was like, wow. But the Feel Good Foundation is not about fundraisers. It's about advocating for workman's comp, Social Security, crime victims, and the basic benefits that they deserve. So when we get a 9/11 responder come to us, we send them to a lawyer who sits on our board, and he's from Breckenridge Fishman in the city, and they're in good hands then. And then we have a public relations lady who does a video on them and tells their story. And it goes on the internet, and it gets them out there. But three, four, five times a year, I'll do a fundraiser, and we'll raise some money for, you know, some 9/11 responders. Is it a lot of money? No. Just did a July 21st concert. We wrote checks to 12 responders. That's pretty good. It's not great. You know, last year I raised $15,800. I donated $16,400, so money's coming out of my own pocket.